Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday, March 10th edition of Byers & Company. This hour, we will introduce you to an incredible artist who's going to be in Decatur Memorial Day weekend at the Devon Amphitheater. Also, Hubert Murray's running for county board. We've got an election next Tuesday, if you haven't noticed. We got that and so much more. Starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We are back here on a very, very, very busy Tuesday. I don't know, it's St. Patrick's Day this weekend, right? They had the big parade in downtown. That's sort of like light at the end of the tunnel. We're getting to spring after a very, very long winter.
That's the lighthouse you've been taking your boat towards for weeks now.
I'm just telling you, I'm ready.
Since Hawaii.
For the Devon Amphitheater. I'm ready for live music. I'm ready to get outdoors. And it is our great pleasure to welcome to the program a man who has been a part of the soundtrack of all of your lives, whether you know it or not. Jim Peterick joins us this morning. Jim, thank you for spending some time with us. I can't wait to see you guys May 22nd at the Devon Amphitheater. Let's just, if we could, start at the beginning. You started this band at a very young age, 14 or 15 years old, is that correct?
Well, first of all, thank you, Brian and Nick, for having me on the show. Jim Peterick, and I'm up and awake and alert, and in fact, I was listening to your show for the last 10 minutes, and I'm blushing. Thank you for all the wonderful words. Can't wait to get on stage at this amazing amphitheater. We saw the video. We haven't been there physically yet, you know, but what a venue. I mean, this amphitheater is just fantastic, and we're so honored to be there for the very first day of this season. And one thing you didn't mention when I was listening to you guys is that we're also bringing on a very special guest, Mark Farner, to the Ides of March show. And as you know, Mark was the chief architect of Grand Funk Railroad, and he gets up there, and he's like a force of nature with American band and some kind of wonderful locomotion. So, but yes, as you were saying, I started when I was 15 years old with the Ides of March. We're currently celebrating 55 years of being together as a band. And, you know, like you also said, when the Ides take the stage, we do all the songs from my career with other bands. I left Survivor in 1996, but I have that rich catalog of songs that I co-wrote with Survivor, like, as you mentioned, Eye of the Tiger, and, of course, The Search is Over, you know, High on You, et cetera, et cetera. Then the Ides also play the hits that I wrote with 38 Special, like Caught Up in You, Rockin' Into the Night, and Hold On Loosely. Sammy Hagar, Heavy Metal, we do that one. So, again, it's going to be quite a night, kind of a retrospective of my whole career in the Ides of March.
You have worked with so many people. I mean, as you mentioned, some of those, Sammy Hagar and 38 Special and Cheap Trick. And then the incredible success of Survivor. I want you to tell me the story about how that happened, because from what I understand, you literally got a message on your answering machine from Sylvester Stallone.
Man, I'll tell you, Brian, I wish I got messages like that every day. I get home from, you know, doing some grocery shopping or something. Early 1982, I press play and I hear a couple of, you know, a message from my sister, a message from my buddy, and then, hey, yo, hey, Jim, that's a nice answering machine you got there. Give me a call at Sylvester Stallone. And I said, yeah, right, come on. Somebody's putting me on. You know, you just don't get a call from Stallone. You know, it would have been his secretary or his manager or something. So I played it back for my wife, because she's usually a little smarter than me, as they all are. And she said, Jim, you better call him back. That really sounds like Stallone. So I call him back. You know, I'm shaking in my boots because he was my hero then, even before, you know, I knew him. And I said, this is Jim Peterick. Is this really Sylvester Stallone? Hey, Jimbo, yeah, call me Sly. You know, I go, holy, you know, holy moly. And he said, I got this new movie, Rocky III, and I love your band Survivor. I love the sound you guys got, you know, and that's the sound I want for my new movie. Can you help me out? I said, is the Pope Catholic? Come on. Yeah. You know, he says, I want an anthem that will outlive you. Can you do it? I said, you got it, brother. And I called over Frankie Sullivan. They sent us a rough cut of the movie, and holy mackerel, we were blown away. You know, Mr. T rising up and Stallone kind of getting soft and doing MasterCard commercials. And I had my Les Paul around my neck, and I just started digga, 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 you know, and that really felt good. And then the punches were being thrown, and I'm going, bump, 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 you know. And suddenly I think we had something, and we started brainstorming the lyrics, and I'll tell you, the rest is history. I'm blown away that in the year 2020, this song is still around, still making a difference in people's lives. That's the best reward I could ever get.
Yep, number one 7 weeks that year on Billboard charts. You won a Grammy for that song. And then, you know, people forget, even I had when I was going back through things, you guys did the song that sold a million records for Rocky IV, the Burning Heart song.
Burning Heart, yeah, that I call that the kind of the forgotten song, because I mean it's in the shadow of Eye of the Tiger, but Burning Heart is a good, really good song, and it emphasizes the tensions between Russia and America, just like today, and it's pretty powerful. So yeah, thanks for bringing that one up.
All right, now you guys have toured with all kinds of people, Hart, Boston, you know, I mean, going back to the days of Jimi Hendrix. I mean, what a blessed life. You've been around so many talented people for so long, and you're still creating art. You got to wake up every day thinking, man, this is the greatest thing in the world.
I do. You know, very thankful for what we've built, and never take it for granted. I mean, at the show, we stay to the very end until every fan has an autograph or, you know, buys something, and we sign a CD or whatever. It's all about the fans. It's all about pleasing the audience. And we get up there and we kick butt, you know, and that's just what it's about. You never take it for granted.
All right. Give me some behind the scenes. Everybody from Cheap Trick to the Doobie Brothers, who have you really enjoyed collaborating with? Obviously, that great partnership with 38 Special, some of the timeless classics. They were here at the Devon Amphitheater last year, so you've already sort of been here on stage. But give me a couple of stories, great collaborators.
Well, you know, one of my favorites was Sammy Hagar. He's still a dear friend. And every time he comes to Chicago, or we actually shared a bill with him in Cleveland last year. And we do heavy metal on our show. And I said, Sammy, would it be okay if the Ides play that song too? He goes, you better play it. You better. So we're up there jamming, you know, heavy metal. And Sammy's on the side of the stage with Michael Anthony, you know, from Van Halen. And they're just cheering us on. But the day we wrote it was really special. Flew out to Sausalito, Mill Valley, where he lives, and he's got this beautiful spread, you know, overlooking the redwood trees, you know. But it was the first time I met him, and I was kind of in awe because, hey, he's Sammy Hagar. He picked me up in a Ferrari at the airport. You know, this guy was cool. You know, the long blonde hair, blah, blah, blah. And we're sitting there like deer in the headlights, and neither of us wanted to throw out a crummy line for a song. You know, we're embarrassed. I said, Sammy, you're going to say stupid stuff. I'm going to say stupid stuff. Let's get started. And we started writing this song, you know, headbangers in leather, sparks flying in the dead of the night. It all comes together when you shoot out the lights, 50,000 watts of power. It's pushing overload. The beast is ready to devour all the metal it can hold. And we start going, this could be the theme for the heavy metal animation. And we called his manager, and we wrote heavy metal in 3 hours, man. And boom, went in the movie, went to the top 10, and it was just, you know, magic.
That's unbelievable. Obviously, the song for Ides of March was Vehicle. Can you imagine back when you wrote that song, it being like a GM commercial, you know, all these years later, and being so successful commercially up front, but then having the shelf life that it's had all these years?
Heck no. I mean, I was 18 when I wrote that song, Brian. It's just like, you don't plan ahead. You're just trying to impress the cheerleaders, you know? you just want to get a date. And, you know, someone had told us, you know, all those years in the future that was going to be an iconic song and an accurate commercial and all these different versions. Get out of town, you know, forget it. This was just fun. And went number one, and suddenly we're on tour. You know, and I'm 19 by this time. The rest of the band is like 18 and 20 years old. We're on the road with Led Zeppelin and Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix and the Grateful Dead, Poco, you know, I mean, Allman Brothers. Just unbelievable. What a great year to have a number one record. All these great bands.
Yeah, I'm told that at the time that was the fastest selling single in Warner's history.
That is correct. It was like lightning. 2 weeks it was top 10. And it was added to that whole Drake chain. That's inside information. But in those days, almost all the stations were controlled by one person, Bill Drake.
Yeah.
And he loved the record, and boom, got added everywhere.
All right. And then I'm also told there was a little bit of mystery around the song itself, that there was like 14 seconds that were accidentally erased, and you had to like kind of splice in the guitar solo from another take.
Well, man, you know a lot of stuff. Yeah, I mean, we knew we cut this amazing track. It was take two. We're at CBS Studios in Chicago, and we were like slapping each other five, and all of a sudden the assistant engineer comes in white-faced and says, "Boys, I just erased 14 seconds of the master take." And we were like, "Oh, my God, let's commit suicide now," you know. And we go out in the street, and we've got a pastrami sandwich, and we're just crying in our sandwich. We come back. Everybody's all happy. They took 14 seconds from take one and spliced it in, and it was like magic. And Brian, this is before the days of click tracks. And,
yeah.
You know, it was a miracle that this worked. And you got it a little wrong. The 14 seconds ended at the guitar solo. In other words, it saved that solo I did, which I could never do again, because I don't know even what I did. I had to learn that solo. It was so good. I can't play that good. It was just my fingers were going automatic. So they saved the solo, thank God. And I still do that solo note for note.
That's amazing. We'll see it live in person on May 22nd. You're going to bring all of this together. I mean, to think about having, you know, Survivor and to have literally Ides of March and to have Grand Funk Railroad and to have 38 Special, all these things that you've been a part of all of these years, all on one stage, one performance. That's what people have to look forward to.
Well, that's the thing. And the Divan is such an amazing venue from everything I've heard. You know, we met with the people who built the place, basically. And it's like state-of-the-art sound, lights, the whole thing. It's what a beautiful night this is going to be, kicking off the season at the Divan Amphitheater in Memorial Day. So it's going to be great. Can't wait for this show.
Jim, thank you for spending some time with us today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, man. And thanks for spinning our records and carrying the torch, man. I really appreciate it. Now, I got one thing to say to you.
Sure.
I do one sign-off, guys?
Absolutely.
Okay. Great God in heaven, you know I love you.
Jim Peterick. All right, buddy. We appreciate it. Thank you. He's going to be there with this guy worked with everybody.
Oh, yeah. His career.
Can you imagine being 19 and opening for Jimi Hendrix?
That's the part that I don't understand. His voice doesn't sound like a 19-year-old. And just being in that spot in your head,
yep,
where you're thrust to the top of the stage, and that's fine. A lot of these people do any burnout, but no, fast forward 40 years or however many years it's been since that came out.
But think about
still doing it.
Like 38 Special, right? He co-wrote. Now, I mean, where's 38 Special without this guy? He co-wrote Rockin' Into the Night, Hold On Loosely, Caught Up in You, Wild-Eyed Southern Boys, Fantasy Girl. He co-wrote every one of their hits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. I love heavy metal. Remember the animated with Sammy Hagar? Mm-hmm. And then there's Survivor. Survivor had a bunch of hits. I mean, yeah, Eye of the Tiger will be the one everybody remembers. But they did Is This Love, Burning Heart, High on You, The Search is Over. I mean, they had a bunch of top tens.
Yeah, my favorite thing from that interview, Brian, was that his willingness to accept his greatness. Like, hey, I'm onto it, or hey, that song was good, or whatever. He knows it so well that he's like, that'll work. That's the one right there.
May 22nd at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater. We're getting educated on that, too. That's that Chicago thing.
I think he got it right early.
Did he?
I think he did.
And then this Mark Farner guy, I had forgotten, to be honest with you, that he's coming with them. And he is now, I think, in his later life, has done some contemporary Christian music.
Mm-hmm.
But Grand Funk Railroad.
Oh, yeah. Some hits there, too.
Oh, my God. That stuff is like the soundtrack of my life.
Yeah.
I mean, everything we just talked about. Totally stoked.
This will be a good one.
Got my season tickets. Do you have yours? To the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater. That's May 22nd. That's opening weekend. I think they'll put on a heck of a show.
I'm not going to miss this one.
Something about a band that's been together that long, about how tight they are as mm-hmm. a band. remember going to see Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers like on their 40th, anniversary tour. You think about, been around 50, 55 years. I mean, you guys can play.
Right. And to come to a new place that has a new energy and a cleanliness or that new car smell, I think that you'll see some of the best.
Yeah.